and everything that you're doing. And if we do that, we remove every obstacle, we remove every fear, we remove everything that can stand before us, Lord, and we can do the very things you've called us to do. So we thank you that this will be a house of faith. We thank you that every person that is hearing my voice will rise up in faith, that they will trust you and look to you and just keep their eyes fixed on you, not on anything that's going wrong, on anything that's going on the left or the right or anything at all, but they will trust you. And as they look to you, they'll be able to do miraculous things like you did with Peter. He was able to walk on water because he fixed his eyes on you. We thank you, Jesus, that we're able to do the things you've called us to do when we fix our eyes on you. So speak to us and speak through us this morning, Lord. Let this place be a place of your Holy Spirit. As we draw nigh to you, we thank you for drawing nigh unto us. And we ask that you just give us all that we need this morning. So we thank you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just ask for a water bottle? Sorry, I'm a little thirsty. Thank you. One second. Okay. So, you guys, I never thought that I would be a youth pastor. Never did. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a writer. That's what I wanted to be. I love writing. I would write all kind of crazy, interesting, just intense stories of just success and heartbreak and tragedy and victory and just all kind of stuff. And there'd be explosions, and it was just a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. That's what I really like to do. And so I thought I would be a writer. I really did. And church for me, when I was a kid, it was really boring. Like, really boring. I have a distinct memory of going to church every Sunday, and there was this lady, and I don't know what she was talking about, but every Sunday she would get up and sing the same song. And she would sing the song, and she would stand there with all passion in her heart. She would say, I remember. And I'd be like, oh, okay, all right. I don't know what you remember, but you remember something. And I remember that now. I don't know, but church was boring. Oh, man, no. I wasn't really fond of it. But then, hey, you know, God's funny like that. And the very thing that I was running away from for a lot of years after that became the very thing that I spend a lot of my waking hours involved in now. So, but you know what? Interestingly enough, not only did I just become a real member of this church, but when my father sensed the heart of God in me and the heart for people in me, and other people saw that too, he sensed that there was something about me being a pastor, something about that was instinctive with me to shepherd folks. And just years later, I just, you know, eventually became a youth pastor, and now that's what I do. I shepherd youth. And you know what? I really like it. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun over there. And even though none of y'all ever visit us over there, you know, it's cool. I promise. You know, it's exciting. It's fun. It's messy. The teenagers, you know, they share a lot, and they can be real. And some of them, you know, they try to be phony. But, you know, like, I'm seeing past that. And you know, I really like what I do. And I really oversee a lot of the student ministry and all them kids. And, you know, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. But I really committed myself to it because I could sense that that's what the Lord has put in my heart. And that's what I am called to do. So I have a question for you. What is your role in this church? What's your role? Pastor has been preaching starting last week about my church family needs me. And it's true. But if you don't know your role in the church, something wrong. I mean, okay, if you are an attender of this church, then you need to attend. That's what you're supposed to do. If you are a leader in this church, then you are supposed to lead. Okay? If you are an usher, you need to ush. Okay? That's what you need to do. And then, of course, if you're in the most valued ministry in this church And the most valued ministry is the one where if something goes wrong, everybody notices it. And no, I don't mean them people in the back there. I'm talking about the donut ministry outside. Because I tell you something about our church, if we don't have our donut, you know, speaker go out, okay, it's okay, I'll still praise the Lord. No, donut, wait a minute. Where my apple fritter? I'm telling you, I see some folks like, oh, we ran out of donuts today, or we don't have some, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, for real, if you're part of this donut ministry, you need a donut like you've never donutted before, okay? Because that is your role in this church, right? But let's take it a little deeper than serving, because your role in the church is more than just serving. It really is. Now, check this out. Jesus said in his scripture, all will know that you are my disciples. All will know about me if you love one another. He didn't say if you serve one another. He didn't say if you ush one another, if you donut one another. He's saying if you love one another. And that love in the Greek is agape. And we know what that means. Pastor talks about it every month. To be totally, wholly given over. Now, outside of New Day, because I'm not just a youth pastor, I'm also a counselor. I work at a school for emotionally disturbed students, those who are really struggling. And I'm trained to look beyond the obvious, like, aggression and outbursts that they have and look past that, look deeper into that. What's the underlying pain? What's the silent prayers that they have? And if I want to help them, I've got to be able to love them past all that. It's more than just serving these kids. It's about loving them. The true needs. Because we all have needs, right? And we all have been praying. We all have some needs deep down that we really need. We all have been praying. So, in terms of moving from serving, I have a question. What if you were the answer to somebody's prayer? What if you chose to be it? If we focus on being the answer to somebody's prayer, because we all have prayers, we all are needing something. If we choose to be that answer to somebody, it takes us to a new dimension of serving. Because now we're just not serving people and meeting them where they're at. No, now we're really getting deep. And we're an extension of Jesus to this, to whoever it is that we're just meeting their needs at. Whoever that is. You know, there's a theological question that sometimes people ask is, why would God allow so much suffering in this world? Why? Why would he allow that? But I think God is asking us the very same question. Why are we allowing it? Because I think we don't step up because we're so consumed with ourselves and our own needs. We have our own lacks, and we see the problems through what it is that we need and what we want. And so we can't help somebody. But if you want to give, 2 Corinthians says God gives seed to the sower. He gives seed to the sower, the one who identifies as a sower, one who is not just who sows. It doesn't say God gives seed to a person who's going to sow. God gives seed to a sower. Now, I like snowboarding. I love it. I don't know how many of you know that, but I love snowboarding. But I would not call myself a snowboarder because I don't do it enough and I don't know enough about it to be able to identify with it. If you like to run, okay, that's great, but are you a runner? Is that something that who you are? God gives seed to the sower. He gifts those who identify with their gift. So you've got to be able to, if you want to really be able to bless somebody, you have to be doing that on a regular and a basis. It's who you are. And he says, seed to the sower. Same thing. If you are in scripture, Genesis somewhere, I'm sorry, don't quote me, but we are blessed to be a blessing, right? We know that we are blessed to be a blessing, but understand that a little bit deeper. We are blessed to be a blessing, to be a blessing. Not to bless others. We're blessed so we can bless others, but to be the blessing. So that's why God will bless you, so you could be a blessing to somebody else. Not just kind of give and help, but to be the blessing. You guys tracking what I'm saying? All right, let's get into this. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Today's message is called Be the Answer. Be the answer. And as Pastor Tony likes to do, everybody repeat that after me. Be the answer. All right. And Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. We're going to read a very, very, very familiar parable that I'm sure that you guys have seen numerous times. The parable of the Good Samaritan. But we're going to break this down a little bit more. Okay. It's one of my favorite parables. Luke 10, 25. It starts as this. It says, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus. Okay. He's testing him. He's a smart man. How many smart people we have in here, huh? One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, okay? Now I think he's mocking him. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? What should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law say? The law of Moses say. How do you read it? So you're so smart. You tell me. Verse 27, the man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's correct. That's the summation of the law right there. You do those two things, you have fulfilled the law. Interestingly enough, the Ten Commandments, the first five commandments, those are all about loving God and honoring God. The second half of the commandments, 6 through 10, that's all about others. You put those together, boom, 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 loving God and loving others. And then, of course, loving yourself. Some people like to call it joy. Jesus, others, and yourself. Way to remember it. So this smart guy knew it. Verse 28 says, right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. There you go. Verse 29, the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Well, hold on a minute. So now this guy is like, okay, well, I understand what that says, but I need you to clarify who is my neighbor, because I want to make sure I give the love, you know, to a person who qualifies to be my neighbor. So Jesus replied with a story. I love it. Jesus replied with a story. Verse 30, it says, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. Okay, here comes a pastor. All right, great. All right, hopefully we'll get a little something because this guy needs some help. Here comes Pastor Brian. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Sometimes it's a little interesting that the people you think are the holiest or the ones who are called by God are going to be the ones to actually do the work of the ministry. Verse 32, a temple assistant walked over. Okay, so someone who works in the church, a staff member. Okay, great. A temple assistant walked over, a Levite, looked at him lying there, but he also passed on the other side. Verse 33, then a despised Samaritan. Samaritans were half-breeds. A lot of people didn't like Samaritans. A lot of people didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. And Jews and Samaritans, they generally did not want anything to do with each other. Did not. Almost Bloods and Crips status. But then a despised Samaritan came along. And when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. So first off, you saw him. Do we really see people who are in need? Do we really pay attention? A few years back when I was in college, and we would go and serve people who were homeless and in need, and we would just go out sometimes at night and just help people in Riverside. Mostly good idea, a little sketchy sometimes, but we did what we could. And man, if you actually start to pay attention to who's around, you'll start to see that there's a lot of need. A lot. A Samaritan noticed. He saw the man, felt compassion for him. Verse 34, went over to him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Didn't look around and see, are there any more robbers or what happened to this man? Didn't go up to him and say, hey, bro, you all right? You need something? No, he just went right over to him and started helping him. Didn't ask him, are you in sin? Didn't ask him, No. Went right over and just started soothing his wounds. Used his own supplies. Soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. Bandaged them up. Then he put the man on his own donkey. Didn't ask him, you got some gas money for this? No, put him on his own donkey and just took him to an inn. Just took him where he took care of him. Now, just so it's clear, guys, this inn, this is not no, nice Holiday Inn, hotel, resort, Marriott, none of that. None of that. This was a hut with a couple of beds, all right? Took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day, all night, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I will pay you the next time I'm here. So Jesus looks at this lawyer and says, now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Which 3 would you say? And Jesus asked, the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Interestingly enough, his original question was, who is my neighbor? And Jesus didn't answer that question. He didn't. Look at what he said. Look at what he said. Look back at verse 36. He said, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Because the lawyer was initially concerned with who qualifies to get the love that you're asking me to do, but he's saying, who was the neighbor to the man? It doesn't matter if that person is qualified. It doesn't matter. It's whether you understand your responsibility to help people in need. And that word neighbor in the Greek is plaseon. And plaseon means any person of any origin that you happen to encounter. Now, it's a great parable, and I just want to make sure it's super clear what I'm saying. Because Paul told the Galatians he doesn't seek to please men, okay? We're not seeking to please men, but we please God, okay? We don't live to please other people. We're not trying to rescue the entire planet, all right? We're not Superman. We're not Messiah's Avengers, okay? Yes, I came up with that all by myself. All of our work and our trying and efforts, everything is supposed to be unto God. You guys hear what I'm saying? It's supposed to be unto him. We live for him, okay? Notice that the Samaritan, he stayed the night with him, but he only stayed one night. And then he continued on his journey. He did everything he possibly could for him and told him, if you spend any more, I'll give you some more. But he kept going. So the Samaritan didn't stay, for years to come. He just stayed, and he continued. But at the same time, John 15:13, greater love has no one than this but to lay down one's life for his friends. And Jesus did exactly that for you and me. Exactly that. And he just wants us to do the very same thing. The perfect picture is in Acts. Earlier in the book of Acts, the very first church, they shared every resource that they had with each other. Not just to be nice and friendly and hey, come on in, sit down, have a cookie. No, it was really like they sold everything they had and they distributed it as anyone had need so that everyone didn't lack. It's for everybody. They recognized their commonality. Every person had needs. And each one had something unique to bring to the table. And because of that, God added to the church daily. And he changed them. I think we all can agree that God is the only thing that can supernaturally change somebody. God is the only thing that can. Amen. However, though, if God is love, then when people come here to New Day, the way they can be supernaturally changed is if we can be love incarnate. That will change people. And when they did that in Acts, people just came and came and came, and thousands of souls were changed. So I want everybody to just look around. Look around in this congregation right now. Look around and look at people. Don't say anything, but just look around. Look around. Look at people. Look at them. Don't just glance at them. Look at them. There are dozens of prayers per person that each person is praying and needing. Look at them. Look at them. Look at them. There are prayers that they need answering. There are. You know you have prayers. And the crazy thing is that with all these people in here, guaranteed, your answer is sitting right in this room. Are you willing to be that answer? Are you willing to be that answer? What's a blessing is in Matthew 14, when it talks about how when Jesus fed 5,000, but 5,000 men, but there were women and children, maybe like 20,000 people. When he did that, the crazy thing about that miracle that I see is that it wasn't just Jesus doing the work. They said, we have some loaves of bread and we have some fish. And they took that and they gave it to him. And Jesus took it and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, okay, this is how we're going to feed everybody. And people were like, we're going to feed everybody with some bread and two fish. This is what we're going to do. But when he broke it and he did that, it says he passed it to his disciples. And his disciples continued to pass it. And they passed it. And they passed it. And it multiplied. And it multiplied. And it multiplied. And it multiplied. Jesus took what they had and they gave it to his disciples. And that was his disciples' responsibility to give it to the next person. And as they continued on with the blessing, every single person, 20,000 people, got fed because everyone did their part and they continued moving on in the blessing. Jesus, oh my goodness. He uses us. He uses us to do it. But now I'm really going to bring this home. We're going to read Matthew 25, and we're going to do something a little interesting, okay? We're going to read Matthew chapter 25, because I'm going to really explain why this is so important. Because some people might be like, okay, be the answer. Okay, that sounds cute, but why? What's the point? I think you're so still consumed about yourself and realize it's bigger than just other people and their needs. It really is. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the part when Jesus talks. And you guys are going to be the nations. You're going to be the nations. All right? So when I point to you, I want you to read out loud what it says on the screen. Okay? All right. Matthew 25, verse 31. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'And then the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.' Then the king will turn to those on his left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me.' Then they will reply, 'And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, But the righteous will go into eternal life. Bible says the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know what Pastor Tony is trying to do? He's the shepherd of this house. Are you listening? Are you following? Because sheep know. And in the illustration, goats, they don't get it. So don't be a goat. Be a sheep. So let's look a little deeper. How does this church, how does New Day fit into this end time depiction? How does it fit? Well, it starts with, does anybody know what the mission statement of the church is? Why do we even exist? What are we doing here? What's the point? Is it the donuts? No. What are we doing here? Does anybody know? What's the mission statement? Those are our values, yes, but what's the mission? New Day exists to what? New Day exists to help people become all that God created them to be. Did you know it's not the pastor's job to help people become all that God created them to be? It's not just the pastor's job. Well, he's the pastor. He's the pastor. No, it's everybody's job. Everybody's job to do this. We're all the church, and we all have a role to play. Again, I'm the youth pastor. It's my job also to help this church exist so that all people become all that God created them to be. You have a role too. I knew a guy in college. He had a little defeated bit of a mindset, and he'd be like, well, I'm the body of Christ. I'm definitely the appendix. Like, no, you're not the appendix. You have a role too. You are worthwhile. The interesting thing is, Pastor Andy Stanley over at North Point Church in Georgia, he said one time, only do what only you can do. And he was saying that in context of serving in ministry, but I really think it goes deeper than that because it's pretty profound. He said, only do what only you can do. That makes your place in the body of Christ so unique that others need you to function. They can't function without you. You have a place and you have a place. That we all have a place to function. So you have to know your gift. You have to know that. And just have laser focus about it. And that's you. And trust me, when everybody does that and we all understand our part and we step up and not be afraid and not be so concerned what other people are going to think and your church past and your experience and what's okay and what's not okay, but you go forth and do it. Trust me, people will be blessed. I told my wife driving here this morning, I am nervous. Why? I don't know, but I'm nervous. It's weird, but I'm stepping up to do it. But I just want to make sure it's clear. I need you. I need you. And I need you. And I need you. 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 And you, I need you. 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 And you need me. And if you can understand why you need me, then you're not getting what it means to be a part of this church. And if you don't understand that you are needed, then you're not getting what this church is about. And admittedly, some people, they're a little hard to love. They're a little hard to need. I'm being honest. They are hard. But I've always been a firm believer in the fact that even though when you look at them and you just, it's just, here we go again. I've always been a firm believer that if you can't think of anything nice to say, then you're not thinking hard enough. So take on the mind of Christ and just think what he would want to think, say what he would want to say, and love how he would love. Do what he would do. Be the answer. Let's pray. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Father, we just thank you so much for all.